It is time for the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, as we bring you a look at the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Four games this weekend that will decide the AFC and NFC championship games as far as who will be participating in them. Fantastic weekend of football. I have a feeling that it will be played a lot better than what we saw collectively as a whole last week. Last week's games were they were weird, to say the least. The Kansas City-Houston game was an abomination. Pittsburgh-Cincinnati was an abomination on a different level. Seattle-Minnesota I actually thought was pretty good, ending included. And the Washington-Green Bay game was, you know, it was okay for about a half. And then, obviously, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers went to town. So that kind of shifted the scope of the weekend a little bit as far as maybe salvaging what had opened up as just an abysmal weekend of action. But eventually, it straightened itself out, sort of. But having said all of that, it's time for the varsity to come out and play. All the kids are just about away and on winter vacation now in the NFL. It's time for the Hammers to come out. New England, followed by Arizona, Carolina, and of course, the Denver Broncos, all hosting this weekend. We will get to those games in just a moment. First of all, a quick rundown of social media. On Twitter, at Joe M's Right Arm, plus on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. On Vine as well, all you have to do is search Joe Montana's Right Arm. You'll be able to find us. And on Facebook as well, at Joe Montana's Right Arm, by checking that out on Facebook. And I'll tell you what, interesting day today, because we taped this on late Thursday night. And a lot of coaching news in the NFL. Dirk Cutter ends up in Tampa. Hugh Jackson, of course, earlier this week, ending up with Cleveland. And the Eagles also landing a head coach after it really what was a strange day for the Eagles, because word came out earlier this morning that Tom Coughlin had pulled his name out of the coaching race for the Eagles. And I got to be honest, like, if everything that is said about the Eagles front office is true, why in God's name would Tom Coughlin go coach for them? Because if there's as it just sounds, it sounds like a weird environment with the Howie Roseman thing kind of looming and lurking in the shadows, and that, you know, some of the scuttlebutt in the NFL, depending on which insider dabble with. That's one of the things that's come out. People are a little leery of that Howie Roseman situation in Philadelphia, and they get Doug Peterson, and some fans very unhappy with the Doug Peterson signing, with him as head coach. And speaking of the Eagles and head coaches, their former head coach Chip Kelly landing in San Francisco. Some interesting comments from 49er fans on the Facebook page today. Not as angry as I thought they would be, because when initially it kind of came out that we were talking about who should be the 49ers next head coach, some of the answers I got, they weren't too pleased with the idea of Chip Kelly, but they just want to get the program turned around, I think, and whoever helps them do that, to be honest with you, I think they're on board with it. So we'll see what happens with the 49ers there, but some interesting stuff going on with the head coaching ranks that you can follow along on the various social media platforms that we are out there on. Now, as far as the divisional round of the NFL playoffs go, just as a global perspective, speaking from that standpoint, you look at the games this weekend, the four games, it's really weird, because you take a look at the four teams that are going on the road, and we all fall for this trap every year when you look at the divisional playoff round. Because you see the week before during wild card weekend, some teams look outstanding, other teams don't look so great but get by, and you wonder, wow, who can be that divisional round team that kind of shakes things up heading into championship weekend? Last year we got Indianapolis as the as Bill Simmons would call it, the wonk team. A little bit. The Colts busting through and defeating the Denver Broncos in Denver last year in the divisional round. We've seen, obviously, the Baltimore Ravens play a big factor in years past, getting to the AFC Championship game and then winning the Super Bowl if you go back to 2012. In the 13 season, you know, the 49ers came out a wild card weekend after they made the Super Bowl the season before. They make a run. They actually defeat Carolina in the divisional round, an NFC West team going on the road to Carolina and winning in a bye week situation for the Panthers. A similar setup, actually, to what may happen on Sunday. And we've seen that happen a lot, obviously, over the years with the road teams heading into divisional round weekend. You know, it's not as easy to get the 1-2 matchup in the conference title games on each side as it was once upon a time in NFL history. And I think you look at these four games here, you know, clearly Pittsburgh is at a major disadvantage with the injuries. A lot of people thought going into this weekend, looking at it maybe from 2 weeks out, tailing back a little bit, I think a lot of people thought that maybe, you know, Pittsburgh was going to be the team that had the big shot to win on the road in the divisional round. I'm not so sure now as we'll talk about it coming up when we take a look at the Denver-Pittsburgh game. But the road teams, I would not be super shocked. I think the team that has its hands most full this weekend as a road team is probably Green Bay. I think Green Bay it's going to be hard. Now, we've seen in the past teams get blown out in the regular season and come back and play that team in a divisional round setup and turn it around and win the game. The Jets did it in 2010. They lost by a billion points at New England. And then a few weeks later, they beat the Patriots in the divisional round. It can happen, but a lot of things have to go right for you. And we'll talk about it when we get to that game coming up in just a bit. But we will open up with the first game of the weekend, and that will be the Kansas City Chiefs on the road against the New England Patriots Saturday at 4:35 in Foxborough. A weird week for the Patriots, and I got to say, the last time that the Patriots had, you don't want to say acrimonious or anything crazy like that, but when things pop up during the course of your week as a bye team, that normally isn't that great of a sign for your long-term prospects in the postseason, especially from the Patriots, who are so, you know, close to the vest with everything. If you remember in 2010, talking about that Jets game, Wes Welker had that insanely stupid press conference where he got up there and kept mentioning the words foot soldier in reference to that controversial video featuring Rex Ryan's wife and Rex Ryan, where Rex Ryan sounded like he had some significant foot fetish for his wife. And Wes Welker, for God knows what reason, decided to make reference of that press conference during his press conference that week. The Patriots ended up, what you would have to believe, sitting him and suspending him for what appeared to be a quarter. And, you know, you look at how that game played out, that made all the difference in the world. It did. And I'm not saying he lost the game for them, but you look at how that game played out early on. The Patriots run down the field. They turn it over on a weird screen pass. Brady got intercepted, I believe, by David Harris. So weird stuff there. Anyhow, that leads to this week for the Patriots, and it's been a bizarre week that started off with that weird press conference where Bill Belichick walks out and he has a black eye. Now, I don't think that's a story. To me, it's a, who knows how he got it. I'm not even going to speculate on how he got a black eye. But the next day, he's walking around in the locker room holding a pair of boxing gloves. So who knows how that happened or why it happened. But anyhow, it's there. We'll see how it's treated from here on out. I mean, he's been pretty grumbly about it the rest of the week here. So not too much on that front. But the Chandler Jones situation was weird. If you did not hear, Chandler Jones on Sunday apparently ended up with a trip to the hospital because he had suffered some sort of overdose of synthetic weed and got sick from it and had to be hospitalized. And he kind of apparently was, if you read the police report, was shirtless as he appeared in front of cops. And it was just not the kind of scene that you want to have if you're the Patriots going in to your biggest game of the season. And also Rob Gronkowski He has some issues with his knee. Now, Jones was back at practice, so he hasn't been an issue per se as far as his participation goes this week. Meanwhile, Rob Gronkowski, that's a different story. Gronkowski suffering from knee issues, and he was a limited participant in practice on Wednesday. He did not practice on Tuesday or Thursday. There were conflicting reports about whether or not he received some injections to that knee. Some sources say yes, he did. Some say no, he did not. So we'll see how it plays out here rest of the way. You would presume, barring something shocking happening, that Gronkowski will be out there for the Patriots on Saturday. And meanwhile, Tom Brady, who got injured in that Miami game when Ndamukong Suh basically maimed him and ended up injuring Brady's ankle, he was suffering from a reported high ankle sprain. From all reports, he seems to be okay, and the Patriots are at least good on that front. And that leads me to this point. I think, you know, one of the, to me, wild cards in this entire postseason is the health of the New England Patriots from two fronts. Number one, if they have a functioning Julian Edelman and a functional Rob Gronkowski, and that offense is back at full flower and back at full strength for the first time really since that Giants game when Edelman got hurt, yeah, I mean, that's a team that potentially could win the Super Bowl. But a lot of ifs heading in, including the offensive line. Sebastian Vollmer will be back in the lineup this week for the Patriots. That, you would think, would help against the Kansas City team that has some ferocious pass rushers. You look at this game and the weekend as a whole, the top four teams in quarterback sacks this season, all still playing. So that's one thing to keep in mind that I thought was actually pretty cool. You look at the Patriots as a part of that mix. Also, Kansas City, Denver, and Green Bay in there as well. Or excuse me, the Packers are right in that top 10, but the top four teams, Broncos, Patriots, Chiefs, Steelers, all still playing as far as being the top teams in quarterback sacks here on the AFC side and in the league as a whole. So I think that'll be something to watch, the pass protection. To me, that's the whole game for the Patriots. The Patriots can block it up, then they'll win the game because Brady will be able to find time. And assuming Gronkowski holds up, Amendola should be rested after getting some time really to heal his knee injury. It could be a long day for the Chiefs. I think Kansas City obviously has some issues coming in with injuries. Jeremy Maclin with his ankle sprain, as they're calling it, a high ankle sprain. He has been really limited this week in terms of practice and participating. Also, Justin Houston. Those two actually will be game-time decisions. So if the Chiefs do not have either one of them at full tilt or playing in this game, makes their odds of winning all the much more greater heading into this game. From the Kansas City side of this, one thing I wanted to take a look at, they're 11 wins. They've won 11 games in a row. Impressive streak, no doubt about it. Let's run down the wins here. Pittsburgh with Landry Jones playing quarterback. The Lions. Denver with Peyton Manning. I believe he threw four interceptions in that game. San Diego twice. Buffalo, Oakland twice. Baltimore, Cleveland, Houston. Those are the 11 wins. I'm not saying Kansas City's not a legitimate team because I think they are. But that's not a strong group. Not a strong group at all. I think it is, as we will discuss in another game coming up here, I think it is very difficult throughout the course of the playoffs and late in the regular season to get fat on changeups and 85-mile-per-hour fastballs and then be able to step into the batter's box and hit somebody who's throwing 98 at you. And I think that is the challenge that the Chiefs will face this week. There's been a lot that's been talked about in reference to that game last year, the 41-14 win for the Chiefs over the Patriots. It kind of stoked the fires and the flames for the Patriots moving forward as they went on to win the Super Bowl. I think you'll see some elements from that game in this game, especially from the defensive side of the football for the Kansas City Chiefs. Remember, the 14 in that game for the Patriots came late, very late in the contest when Jimmy Garoppolo threw a touchdown pass to Rob Gronkowski. Otherwise, they were absolutely decimated in that game and picked apart by the Chiefs. So I think you'll see some similar properties from Kansas City on the defensive side. Offensively, who knows? Because you may not have Macklin. If you do, he'll be at somewhat limited capacity. Jamaal Charles played in that game last year. He's not there, so you're dealing with Spencer Ware, Sharkhandrick West, you know, on the special team side, Niall Davis. So there are a lot of different parties here on the offensive side, which is why I think this, from the side of the Chiefs, this game is on Andy Reid and the offensive play calling, and of course Doug Peterson, the offensive coordinator, who obviously got the job with the Eagles today. This game is, I think, on them as far as to come up with a game plan that can solve this Patriots defense. I think that's going to be the big issue for Kansas City. Can they find a way to move that football consistently? And they got to stay in third and five, third and six is a lot. If they're in third and four, five, and six a lot in this game, that's bad news for the Patriots, because that's probably in that zone where the Chiefs can then kind of try to keep the Patriots off balance on the defensive side, use Travis Kelce a little bit. And that's one of the other issues in this game. Can the Chiefs find other means of moving the football besides Travis Kelce? Because you know the Patriots are going to try to take him away. And if Macklin is not out there on the field, that will be even a greater detriment to the Chiefs' offense. So I think that's some of the keys in the game. Clearly in a game like this, and this is anytime you have these type of games where it's, now the line is 4.5, so it's not a massive underdog heading into Foxborough and Kansas City, but when you have a team that's limited a little bit offensively from a personnel side, you look at turnovers and special teams. Kansas City did a great job of turning over teams this season. Special teams, we've seen what they can do. We saw it last week with the Niall Davis, a kick return right off the bat for a score against the Texans. So the Patriots have to guard against those type of things and prevent the big plays. And you don't want to give up cheap touchdowns in the postseason, because that can be very devastating to a team. So from New England side of it, got to protect Tom Brady. They do that, they're going to be A-okay. But I think for the Chiefs, they have got to find somebody else besides Travis Kelce to produce offensively. I think that will be tough for them to do. If you're the Patriots, 24. I think that's a magic number in this game. The team that gets into the 20s first, I think, will be the team that ends up winning the game. Final score, looking at Patriots 24, Chiefs 16. On to game number two, Packers at the Cardinals. I think of the four games, I think this is the toughest situation for a road team, because I really like the Cardinals, and the Cardinals obviously liked a lot that matchup against the Packers a few weeks ago where they won 38-8. A lot of negative plays for the Packers in that game. Four turnovers. Aaron Rodgers was sacked 9 times. That stuff has to be cleaned up, and I think it will be cleaned up in this game from the Green Bay side. But kind of going back to what I was talking about earlier, I think one of the things that hasn't been played up enough from last week is that I think people forgot, and I fell into this trap a little bit too with Washington, I think people forgot who was in the playoffs for a moment. You know, you have Houston, who was in a horrible division all year long with a quarterback who put together one of the worst offensive performances in NFL postseason history last week. And then on top of that, you had the NFC East with Washington. And remember, Washington really didn't stake a claim until late in the year. So I don't think Kansas City and Washington were great, or excuse me, Kansas City and Green Bay were greatly tested last week. I think that's really, if you're those two teams going in this week, I think that's the concern you have to have. You know, can your team handle adversity and kind of the pressure that it's going to feel that it did not feel last week? Maybe if you're Green Bay, you know, you're down 11-0 and a chance to get knocked out early by the Redskins and they were able to hold together things and stay in the contest and eventually win it. But, you know, if I were a Green Bay fan, I'd be a little leery about that moving forward. You're going from playing a Washington team that, quite honestly, personnel-wise, is not very good to face an Arizona team that cleaned your clock a few weeks ago in Arizona, and a team that is rested. So I think this is a tough, tough spot for the Packers. Pass protection for Rodgers, we said, was brutal last time with the 9 sacks. The Cardinals, you know, their offense, kind of goes under the radar, I think, sometimes. I mean, people have been so googly-eyed over the Carolina Panthers on the NFC side, I think, at times, that you forget the power and the effectiveness of Arizona's offense throughout the course of the year. And David Johnson has come on late to be a great find. He could be a big factor in this game for Arizona because, again, in the postseason, you're playing against some pretty good teams from a coaching side and a personnel side, too. And these teams just aren't going to let you do the conga line down the field with what got you to the dance. So I think, you know, the Palmer's ability to go downfield to the receivers might be compromised a little bit. I'm sure Dom Capers and company will mix it up against the Arizona Cardinals in that passing attack, and we'll see if Carson Palmer and the Cards have some answers. I think they will. I like the Cardinals to win this game 31-13. I think they'll just be able to put too much pressure on that Green Bay offense and in turn force some mistakes that the Arizona offense will be able to capitalize on. Let's move to Sunday. Seattle at Carolina. Maybe the best game of the week. A rematch from earlier in this season where Carolina went to Seattle and won 27-23. Cam Chancellor in that game was just coming back from his holdout, did not play that well in the game, may have been responsible for a touchdown given up late to Greg Olsen that gave the Panthers the win eventually. I think this game, there are a couple ways to look at this contest from both sides. First, for Seattle, man, so lucky to win that game last Sunday at Minnesota. Having said that, they are going to feel like, I mean, they're going to have a new lease on life playing in Carolina after playing in sub-zero weather last week. So I think Seattle will be excited, certainly, to get out there on the field. But as far as the matchup goes, a couple of things to keep in mind here. Carolina, one of the issues with them this season, and the question mark has been, how are they going to move the football through the air? I think if you're Carolina, the run game is so important in the postseason for you. Not that it's, you know, in a situation where it's not important during the regular season, but clearly at this juncture of the year, they've got to find a way to move the football through on the ground to open up things, I think, for your passing attack. Because if you can't run that football effectively with Jonathan Stewart and company and Cam Newton, I think it's going to be very tough for Carolina in this contest. So the short passing game opened up by the run. You get Greg Olsen involved, and then you start taking your shots with Ted Ginn. You know, the one thing that Ted Ginn has that a lot of teams don't have, Ted Ginn can just run, okay? He's not the greatest pass catcher in the world. He's not the greatest route runner in the world. But Ted Ginn, he can run you downfield. And I don't care if it's Richard Sherman or whoever. He can run with anybody in the NFL. So I think that's one of the big challenges for Seattle. Can they make Carolina one-dimensional of sorts and make them play a little bit uncomfortable and against their tendencies that they've shown this season? And from the Carolina side of it, as far as a competition perspective goes, I've said this before. You know, you look at some of these teams coming into the playoffs who have played crap schedules, I think, and it's not their fault. You got to play who you play. You got to play who's on your schedule. It's that simple. But 8 of their 15 wins are against the NFC East and the AFC South. That is not a test. That is not a series of games that is going to get you ready for the postseason. And even the NFC South this year, I mean, Atlanta was kind of meh. They were okay at times earlier on in the season, but obviously tailed off significantly. So not a lot of challenges for Carolina. They played Seattle earlier in the year. But I think at this juncture, this is the biggest test and maybe the best a team has been playing going in to a particular game against Carolina this season. So I think this is a massive challenge for the Carolina Panthers. And you wonder if they'll be able to hold up. I think from the Seattle offensive side of it, the passing attack to me is where it's going to be at. I don't think you can count on your running game to be a significant factor. Who knows what's going to happen with Marshawn Lynch moving forward? That's a weird spot there in Seattle right now with Lynch. I think if Lynch comes back, obviously you'd rather have him than not have him, but I think if they don't have him, I mean, it's Russell Wilson's team. It may already be Russell Wilson's team, but I think if Lynch is there, that'll give him some extra oomph on the running side of it. If he's not, you know, you attack the Panthers with that passing game and pick your spots running the football. Couple of wild cards in this game from the Seattle side. Obviously, Tyler Lockett in the special teams game. Can he shift field position? That will be crucial. What happens with, you would think, a prospective Josh Norman, Doug Baldwin battle? Can Baldwin get the best of Norman when he's lined up against him? That's going to be critical. Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin have been amongst the hottest receiver quarterback combinations here over the second half of the season. Wilson has been playing lights out, and so has Doug Baldwin. You got to give him a ton of credit for what he's been able to do this season. So I think those are some of the keys. Overall, I just think this is a different Seattle team from what Carolina saw in, I believe it was week 6 when they played in Seattle. I like the Seahawks in this game. The Seahawks were my pick to get to the Super Bowl at the start of the year. I'm not sure if they're going to fulfill that destiny, but I think they'll get the win on Sunday against Carolina. I like the Seahawks 27-21. I don't think the Panthers defensively will be able to make enough plays against Russell Wilson, especially if it comes down to something late in the game. So I like the Seahawks there. And then the last game, Pittsburgh at Denver, Sunday at 4:40. It's a shame, man. It really is with this one. Heading in, if you told me 3 weeks ago Pittsburgh would be playing Denver in round one, I would have picked the Steelers and not even thought twice about it. But now, with all of the injuries, it sounds like it's going to be a hairy proposition for Antonio Brown to play on Sunday against the Steelers. If he cannot, due to the concussion protocol issues, that's a huge loss, obviously, for the Steelers. And we haven't even mentioned the Ben Roethlisberger situation yet. That is going to be a significant factor in the game as well. If Roethlisberger plays, how far can he throw the football? So a lot working against the Steelers. Now, having said that, I think if you're a Steelers fan, this is what you have to hang your hat on, okay? Peyton Manning has not started a game since week 10, okay? Now, who knows what version of Peyton Manning you're going to see on Sunday. If it's the good Peyton Manning, then obviously the Steelers will have their hands full. But if it is a mediocre Peyton Manning, if it is a below average Peyton Manning, this is a coin toss ball game, because then it's going to come down to the two defenses. So I think from Pittsburgh's side of it, you've got to stop the run. If you stop the run against this Denver team, okay, they are in severe trouble, because I don't think Manning at this point of his career can carry a team throwing the football. And I said this before with him a couple weeks ago. With this matchup, okay, I think you would rather, if you're a Steelers fan, you'd rather see the Steelers play the Broncos next week. Because forget about the Steelers health stuff for a second, because I mean that's an issue, but let's put it to the side for a second. I worry about Manning in that second week of game action after this long layoff. I think he's going to come out. I think he's going to look sharp, or at least sharp enough to move the sticks for the Broncos. And then from there, it's going to come down to whether or not they can run the football effectively. If they can run the ball effectively, that's going to give Pittsburgh a lot of problems. And I think, too, look, the one thing we know about Pittsburgh defensively is that they do a good job of getting to the quarterback. They're amongst the top teams, as we said, sacking the quarterback this season. If the Broncos kind of play to that, I think that's a major, major issue, because the Broncos' offensive line is not great. And I think if you expose Manning passing the football a great deal, so like if he throws the ball 35 times, that's not good for the Broncos long term here in this game and moving forward in the postseason. So I think if you're the Steelers, you want to make them, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you want to make Peyton Manning beat you. I think that's the key to me. You want to make Peyton Manning beat you, not the run game. If you can hold the run game in check, then hey, I'll gladly take my chances with Peyton Manning and the neck surgeries and the plantar fasciitis, all that stuff. I'll roll the dice and take my chances on whether or not he can actually come up big. But I think the major deciding factor in this game could be the Denver defense. If Roethlisberger can't play or is significantly limited, I don't see where the Steelers are getting their points from in this game. That, to me, is a major problem. How are they going to score if Ben Roethlisberger is not there? I think Landry Jones is an okay quarterback, but this is way, 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 way above his pay grade. So the type of pressure that's going to be on Landry Jones and a lot of the other Steelers to produce if Roethlisberger and or Antonio Brown are not out there, going to be a tough go of it for the Steelers. I like the Broncos to win this one 20-10 on Sunday. So to recap, Broncos over Steelers, Seahawks over the Panthers, Cardinals over the Packers, Patriots over the Chiefs. So your AFC and NFC wildcard games, at least in my view, will be the early game on Sunday, January the 24th, Brady versus Manning. Number 17. Is this number 17? I think it's number 17. Wow. Just going to be a crazy, crazy time if that game goes down. It will take place in Denver. And then the nightcap would be Seattle at Arizona, as those two teams would meet for the third time this season. And we'll see if Seattle has enough juice to get to the Super Bowl. Big, big challenge to beat Arizona, I think, in their building for Green Bay on Saturday, and then potentially if Seattle has to do it for them as well. If it's Carolina, Arizona, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I don't think it's going to play out that way, but it would be very fitting if Carolina and Arizona ended up being in the NFC Championship game together. Heck, after all, those are the two best teams in the NFC from nearly start to finish this season in the regular season, and as we head towards championship weekend here for the playoffs. That will do it for the JMRA podcast. You can check us out on social media at Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter, JoeMontanasRightArm.com. Out there on the blogosphere, we're on Facebook and Vine simply by searching Joe Montana's Right Arm. That will do it for the podcast this week. We'll be back with you on late Sunday night, Monday morning, with the review of the action from divisional round weekend and set you up for the AFC and NFC championship games next Sunday. Incredible. See, there's only but a few football games left. This is wild. Anyhow, enjoy the weekend, everybody. Happy football.